Hello everyone, it's Jan Collier here at the Epsom & Newell Talking Newspaper, and today I have the pleasure of chatting to a very special guest. Now he's particularly special to us because this year he is our president here at the newspaper. And in this role, one of many he's undertaken, he has heartily supported us on several occasions, and we thank him very much for that. However, we are doubly proud to tell you that our president, today's special guest, is none other than the worshipful, the Mayor of Epsom & Newell, Councillor George Crawford, QPM. And sitting right by his side is his partner, the Mayoress, Jackie Hennings. So good morning and a very warm welcome to you both. And may we say how much we appreciate the time you have given to be with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning
to you. Now, Mr. Mayor, before we talk about your work during your year in office and about the amazing fundraising that you've encouraged for your chosen charity, Macmillan Cancer Support, I'd like to tell our listeners a little about you. So you were born in Coleraine, Northern Ireland, a home close to your heart and one you visit regularly. You joined the Metropolitan Police in 1962 and had a distinguished career for which you were awarded the Queen's Police Medal. Now you're a huge rugby union fan, more of which later, and played for both London Irish and the Met before taking up refereeing quite seriously. I've read an interesting little story about a particular tackle you were obliged to make once at the semi-finals of the Middlesex Sevens at Twickenham, which you might reveal more about later on. Now, another of your passions is music. You've always played guitar, but in more recent years, you've enjoyed learning and playing your ukulele. Now, I believe that was a gift from Jackie some years back. Now, we know that you give your time generously in so many ways, and you've also delighted hundreds of people with your music over the years. So that's another little treat we're just looking forward to a bit later on. You've lived in what you describe as the caring borough of Epsom and Ewell for 45 years, and you've been a very active member of the council, at one time serving as chairman on the Crime and Disorder Committee. You were elected mayor in May last year and have thrown yourself wholeheartedly into fundraising for the Mayor's Charity Fund, for which you chose Macmillan Cancer Support. So, Mr. Mayor, it is with pleasure that I ask you to tell us about your year so far. What is the greatest challenge that faces a new mayor? What were the highlights, and most importantly, tell us about your chosen charity and the funds you have raised.
Well, John, I think the most important thing is that you sacrifice a year of your life, really, when you take on the role of mayor. It comes as a bit of a shock, but it's like everything else. If you don't want to take on the role, you don't actually apply for it. But I was asked to do it, and my concern at the outset, really, was how Jackie would enjoy it if we both took it on together. And I know personally that it was a bit of a struggle for the first week. And then Jackie actually took it on board. And I think she said to me at the very end of last week that she would miss it when we finish. I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would, actually. It was very scary for me at the start off, as I'm not on the council or anything to do with it. And it just terrified me to start off with, and I thought I wouldn't be able to do it. I said to George, when he first said to me, if I became mayor, would you... And I said, please don't ask. And but he, with his very gentle, persuasive Irish accent, you know, came to me and said, well, you know, leave it up to you, I will, but... you will, you know, like it, I'm sure. And so I thought, well, and it was a good charity that he was doing it for. And I thought, well, what else could I do but to support him in any way I could?
So that's, I believe you have been by his side at absolutely everything.
I have, actually, yes. And I have started to enjoy it now. And I said to him, as he's just said, you know, I really will miss it when we come to May, the end of our year.
Indeed. Mm.
So the difficult parts. The one thing I find is difficult is, A, I have got a very efficient secretary in Lynn who actually takes the bookings and is absolutely adamant that I perform to the very best of my ability on every occasion. So the both of us actually go out knowing that Lynn has arranged it down to the finest of details. And at the end of the year, I think I will find it extremely difficult to slot back into the real world, having done something like about 160 visits already. And we would suspect that probably by the end of another 3 months, we'll have done probably coming up near 200. So, and of course, time. The other thing that frightens me is time and dates. The reality that you've got to be somewhere exactly on time. People expect you to turn up. If it's 5 to 3, you will turn up at 5 to 3. And of course, you're looking at your watch. The odd time, the drivers run into traffic, Rob or drivers, who's another ex-policeman. So all of those things put together, it is a commitment which is not for the faint-hearted, and one which I've enjoyed immensely, but have understood all its shortcomings. And at the end of this, whilst we will stand down on the 16th of May, I don't think I'll say I would like to do it again.
Has it been one of the best experiences in your life?
It's been a wonderful experience because I'm an Epsom man. I always look at myself as an Epsom man because I've been here a long time. I came to London as a 16-year-old boy and I worked on the roads and then went into the Met Police at 19, dead on 19. And that was really the making of me. My late wife, Gwyneth, who died 6 years ago, we lived in Balham for a while and then came out to Epsom. And Epsom was her home and has been ever since. And Jackie, her husband, died 10 years ago. And we've known each other family-wise for a very long time. And these things happen and we drifted together. And it's been a joy. And I'm so delighted that she's been available to actually support me throughout this.
That's wonderful. I don't suppose you ever could have envisaged that you would be sitting here as Lady Mayoress.
Definitely not.
But yes. How wonderful is that? Mm-hmm. And you have done, I know, brilliant work. Your fundraising, I was having a look on the website and it's amazing. So please tell us more about your charity.
Well, we're very fortunate. I made my mind up very, very early. My background is I work tirelessly, and I like to think I worked tirelessly because my late wife had multiple sclerosis and I worked very tirelessly to raise money there. But when I became mayor, there was two influences made my mind up to do Macmillan Cancer Support. One was Roy Richmond of Epsom Coaches, and Roy died 3 years ago of Parkinson's, but he actually worked with Nancy and they put together the money to assist putting the Butterfly Centre at Epsom Hospital together, supported by Macmillan's. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because Roy was a great friend. And secondly, just before I became mayor, my niece's daughter in Ireland got Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, she came through very, very well. The treatment was first class. So both of those wrapped together actually made my mind up that Macmillan would be my charity. I'm also very, very fortunate that my ward is Cuddington. I've got a lot of good friends there, and it's a very, very social ward. So we have been running a number of very strong social events up there over the years. And really all we did this year was shift the fundraising from the RA, from the Residents Association up there, we shifted it onto the mayor's charities. So we have been raising a lot of money through various, and most of our events, other than our ladies' lunch, most of our events are £5. And on every occasion, running these events for a fiver, we at least reap in £1,000. And the classic was the last St. Patrick's night, we actually had OneGas, who have been very generous, allowing us to use their facilities. We raised £1,000 in the door and almost £1,000 in the bar, which went to the club. So we're very fortunate. And I think at the moment, I'm just looking at the accounts this morning, And we had a generous donation yesterday from Probus, from the Epsom Probus. And I think we're in about 16,000-17,000 now.
That is fantastic.
Which is a huge amount of money.
Did you have a target sort of in the back of your mind originally?
No, I made a particular point of not having a target. Mm. So that if I made 3,000, I was more than happy with 3,000. Yes. But it's come together. And the one thing I wouldn't want to do is compete. No. And I think that's the one thing. There is a danger there. And to be perfectly frank, when we finish, it will probably be quite a while before we know exactly how much we have got. And I think if anybody's interested in finding out, they can probably ring Macmillan's and Macmillan will tell them.
Indeed, indeed. And I will later on be giving the website so people can go on and not only donating, but finding out. I know that you have some more events coming up. I read about afternoon tea at the Canopy and you, art show at Bourne Hall.
The art show starts next week, which is a totally... We've never been involved ourselves in anything like it, but Jackie's a member and was chairman of the Bourne Hall workshop, art workshop, and the boys and girls there have actually supported us, and the idea is to we're going to put paintings that they've donated, and we counted them yesterday, we've donated 100 paintings, and some of them are outstanding. They'll be on display in Bourne Hall starting on Tuesday of next week. And the idea is that you come in, you look at the paintings, they will all be numbered, there'll be an old voting box, so there will...
For 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah, oh, fine.
They'll be there for 2 weeks. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. So I was. Yes.
And then basically what you'll do is if you like a painting and you like, and you'll see the number, you put down, you make a bid. Okay. And it's a blind bid.
A blind bid, yes.
And you actually put it in the box, and on the Tuesday, on the 28th, we will actually open the box with a little fanfare and see basically what we get from it. So
how
it's
exciting.
Something we've never done
how
before.
Exciting. Mm. Jackie, are you a painter yourself? You're an artist?
Yes, I am. Yes, I do like it. I'm not very good at it, I don't think. But I do sell, which is...
Oh, very
people
good.
Say, oh my goodness, that's amazing. But it's very simple.
What sort
art,
of things do you paint?
Really, animals or Disney characters.
Really? Oh.
Mostly for... But a lot of it was for children, really.
Yes.
Too. But I think that's probably the reason why I've sold, because of children and birthdays and things like that.
I think you'll have great success. What a clever idea. It's wonderful. Mm.
Well, I keep worrying about her Disney characters, but it is in the style of Disney.
yes, emphasising that style.
So you say it's and we've got a ladies' lunch coming up at Chalk Lane, which is well supported. We had a target of 50. We've hit that target.
Really?
We have got a brilliant speaker coming in, a very high-powered speaker, a girl called Lynn Owens, who was the chief constable of Surrey, you may remember.
Oh, yes.
And Lynn is now the director general of the National Crime Agency, which deals with organised crime in the UK. And Lynn has agreed to come and speak at the lunch, and we are very excited by that.
That's fantastic. Mm. You're using your old contacts,
are
exactly.
you?
It's
no good
if you can't network.
I have no problem.
Yes,
no
exactly.
problem with that.
Yes.
None at
and
all.
I shall be hosting it, which is quite nerve-wracking.
Will you? How wonderful. Will you be in full regalia?
I'm going to... No, we at the outset, when we discussed this, and Jackie was quite adamant that this is a woman's lunch.
I said, we don't want you anywhere near
Oh, he's
us.
Not coming at all. Oh,
but he is, actually. I've decided it might be good so that he could be the...
Master
what
of
do you
ceremonies.
Call him? Master
yes.
of... That's right. So,
so
he
I'll
can
be wearing my
dicky
bows, I will. And
yes. Not yes. the gown? The
no. Gown. I'm not coming as a mayor. No, I'm coming... I will wear a dinner suit and
oh,
I will introduce the ladies.
Wonderful.
And we've been raising... the money for the event to buy a number of very, very fine raffle prizes. So, and we've had some really very generous donations from some of the businesses in Epsom. So I think we're looking forward to
Is
running
it. Sold out, did you say? Or
well, we can always squeeze.
Of course
we can always squeeze.
Always
so we've got 50.
I
the deal I did with Chalk Lane was 50, and he would give me a very good price, which he did. And he reduced the price accordingly. And so we're actually, and Epsom Coaches, who I must give a mention to, Epsom Coaches have generously donated £400 to us
oh,
to buy wine for the ladies. And so we would hope that the event itself will raise probably another £1,000 or so. But definitely. The thing is, I just hope it's a very good event. That's all I'd like.
I can tell from all that you're saying that you really have enjoyed. You have thrown yourself wholeheartedly, as I said at the beginning, and you've both, I can tell from the smiles on your faces, that you have loved doing this.
That's been great fun.
Isn't it lovely to really enjoy something that's doing so much good and raising, you know, so much money?
And every day is different. Every single day we do is different.
And the people we meet all the time, they're so enthusiastic with what they're doing. And there's so many talented and lovely people in Epsom, aren't there, that we've met, and it's been lovely, really.
And a lot of it, you've got to have a really good sense of humour, which I have, and both of us. But, I mean, I quote, Jackie doesn't think it was tremendously funny, but I quote, on Sunday last, we were at Guildford Cathedral at a service for the RAF cadets, and it was a march past, there was about 200 of these, and then, for some reason, I was asked if I would like to, bearing in mind the Lord Lieutenant was there and about five other mayors, would I like to inspect the troops, basically? So I walked along and I thought, I kept saying, you know, and where are you from? And it was Guildford or Sutton or some were very local. And we came towards the end, and there was a young man who clearly, his mum and dad probably came from a faraway land. And I spoke to him and I said to him, and whereabouts are you from? And he said, Ecuador. So I actually said, no, I was thinking of somewhere local. I said, God, what about Kingston or Wimbledon? No, he said Wimbledon. I've been born and bred in Wimbledon.
How lovely.
And he was so lovely. And, I mean, I found it very funny.
He was
really
very proud of the fact, too.
He was, absolutely. And we were delighted to see him, so we were.
And when you're inspecting, what were you inspecting for? You know, polished buttons?
I've done this two or three times. And my old police days of marching up and down and saying, get your hair cut and get your boots polished. But that wasn't part of it. I was trying to be ever so nice to them because these were nice young kids. And it was a matter of saying, and where are you from? And when did you join? And are you enjoying it? So that really was as far as it went. But as I say, I was totally thrown, came back chuckling to myself and told the others, I had to tell the others about the Ecuador. And they all said, well, what's wrong with that? He probably caught a plane.
Came specially for the occasion.
Exactly.
That's really wonderful. Well, I mean, has the year so far, it's not finished yet, but has it been much as you imagined, or has it thrown up an awful lot of surprises and things you weren't perhaps prepared for?
The odd time, and it's a very, very, and I think my colleagues and next year's mayor understands it as well. The odd time you arrive and there isn't a welcome. It's a rarity, but there has been. And I think if anybody wants to invite the mayor and the mayoress to any event in the future, always make sure you're organised.
Yes.
And make sure that you, bearing in mind it's not the individual, it's the role. And you're actually, if you're actually trying to ensure that your function goes well and you've invited the mayor, treat him with the respect, or her with the respect that a role deserves, not the fact that the individual, might not be the most pleasant individual, but the reality is the role. And I think if I would say to anybody, if you're inviting the mayor, treat him or her with respect.
Yes, that's very good advice. So so how would you sum up your year in office then, thus far?
I would say, I mean, some of the events have been magnificent. And I'm fortunate in that I know a lot of people in the Epsom area. So wherever I go, I invariably know someone or a number of someones. But coming back, I think it's been demanding. It's been a challenge. You hope you've done your best. You hope that people view the fact that you have done your best. And when you go out the other end, you feel as if you've actually achieved something, and particularly you've done something for the borough. And I think that is probably the reason I would actually, of all the mayors, I would say, always feel as you've done your best. And I think that's all you can ask.
That is brilliant. But what we'd like to know is, what does an outgoing mayor do next? How do you just slip back into, as you mentioned earlier, slipping back into everyday life? What is everyday life for you?
It is a challenge. It is a challenge, bearing in mind that I am still a councillor and will remain a councillor for at least 2 years. I think the reality is that you've just got to readjust. But at the moment, I mean, I treat Jackie lives in Meadowhawk, and I have got a flat in the Parade as well. So I treat my flat in the Parade like an office, and I do go in every single day, and I do go across and see Lynn, my secretary, and we do discuss what's coming up and what has just come onto the books. So I would say that when I finish, there will be a large gap. But the hounds are gathering at the moment, because there's a number of charges have been saying to me, what are you going to do when you finish?
Everyone wants a piece of your time.
And I think, you know, I would like a rest first. I think the one thing is we'd like a bit of a break. But I will be back into charity work in some way or other and be happy and be very happy to do it.
And you'll have more time together, Jackie. Will that be nice for you?
Yes, and I'll be able to slip back into more of my personal things that I've missed this year. Obviously, you have to give up so many things. And it'll be nice to get back into sort of gardening and all the things general, like, and the art, more art. And generally, things that I've missed, really.
Yes.
General, but as I say, I've really, really enjoyed. I wouldn't have missed it for the world
this
year, because it's so different, and you only get one chance at this.
Yeah.
And it has been quite an experience.
Well, Jackie's a WI girl for a start,
and other clubs,
so she's into
and walking.
Them.
I love walking. Sometimes with the health walkers, Epsom and York health walkers, which I really haven't had a moment to go with them
that
this year.
That sounds interesting, yes.
I've really enjoyed, I used
health
to really enjoy
very
that.
Good.
Very healthy.
Yes. So you'll get back into your...
Generally, yes, back
life.
Into that.
Now, just for fun, I just want to take you back, because the Rugby Six Nations is in the spotlight right now, and I have to tell you here, I know nothing about rugby whatsoever, but believe it or not, I was in Scotland with my husband last weekend, because our son lives up there with his wife, and my son and my husband are rugby fans, and I actually was obliged to sit there politely while they watched. What did they watch? Scotland v Ireland,
yeah.
And I saw, they were narrowly beaten.
I actually thought Scotland played magnificently. I thought they played the sort of rugby that I recollect playing when I was a youngster. They ran with the ball. We weren't. I mean, the bullock. In most of my Irish friends, they were driving forward. They're big, big boys. But the reality was that the Scots beat them at a game which probably we have left behind. And I would like to think that Ireland goes back to playing a running game, which is where the strength is. But rugby, is it? I mean, the reality was, when I was playing rugby for London Irish way, way back, I was playing in the prop forward. As I was playing at 13 and a half stone. Now, the similar prop forward now is 19 and a half stone.
Really? My goodness.
The general weight of them is about 19 and a half stone. And I worry about, looking back now, I think to myself, well, I would have been absolutely massacred. And I worry about the fact that these weights clashing into each other.
Yes.
And I found that when I was refereeing, international rugby as well. And I found that when I was refereeing there, as I was coming to the end of my career refereeing, the clashes that were taking place between players, and I thought, this is a dangerous business.
And you thought it was down to the size and the weight.
And I think the size and the weight is one of the issues that will have to be addressed. And, you know, we're now into concussion, etc.
Yes.
And I think all of these things, it's a great game, and we all love to get bash into each other. But the reality is, when 19 stones bashes into
it's
each
dangerous.
Other, it becomes dangerous. And no matter how strong you are, and the injuries they're getting now are very severe. Mm. Some of them are very severe, in fact, are career-ending, which is a tragedy,
it,
really.
It is very worrying. Well, now, you talked about refereeing, your refereeing days, and we're going to be very cheeky here and just ask you that I know that you have a fun little story to tell us, taking you back to Twickenham, circa 1985. Do tell us what happened in that very memorable rugby tackle. Listen carefully, listeners.
Well, I actually, Twickenham, it was the Middlesex Sevens, and there was about 63,000 there, and I was refereeing the semi-final of the competition, the Middlesex Sevens, and it was half-time, and a young man came running onto the field, naked except for a very fine pair of shoes that he was wearing. And he was chased by a young student who was a security. And for some reason, the lad with no clothes kept running towards me. So I just dropped my shoulder and he went over the top, and he was taken away. And I have no doubt that he was probably clothed and ended up back in the stand, I would like to think. But the reality was that my colleagues, refereeing colleagues and my police colleagues, all were twittering away about what would have happened if it had broken his leg. And I, at that time, I was a superintendent of the police, and I said, well, I was acting as a constable. I said, end of story.
When you say twittering away, not in the modern sense.
Not in the modern.
Twitter, we didn't have Facebook.
I am a Twitterer, may I say. I do Twitter, but I'm not a Mr. Trump Twitterer.
No,
I'm an advert. I'm an advert Twitterer. I find twittering is one of the best medias to get my information out to people and say, yeah, we're doing this, that, and the other, and we actually get quite a lot of business from it. So Twitter has got a place to play.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Mr. Mayor, Councillor George Crawford, and Mayoress Jackie Hennings, I will say now that on behalf of all our listeners and our volunteer team who work on the Epsom and Ewell Talking newspaper, I'd like to thank you very much for giving up your time and chatting to us today. And of course, we all wish you continued success in the months to come. A reminder now that if our listeners would like to find out more about your forthcoming events, the lovely events you've just talked about, they sound wonderful, or if they'd like to donate to Macmillan Cancer Support, they should visit www.mayorscharitiesepsom.org.uk. But we have one more little treat for our listeners. And may we now finally ask you if you would kindly play us out with some music on your fabulous ukulele. And thank you both again from us all.
Well, I think it would be remiss of me not to play George Formby. So I'm going to play a famous George Formby tune, so I am. And here we go. I'm leaning on a lamp, maybe you think I'm a tramp, and I'm hanging round just to steal a car. But no, I'm not a crook, and if that's the way I look, I'll tell you why I'm here and what my motives are. I'm leaning on the lamppost at the corner of the street till a certain little lady comes by. Oh me, oh my, I hope that little lady come by. Hold again. I don't know if you'll get away, she doesn't always get away, but anyhow I know that she'll try. Oh me, oh my, I hope that little lady.
Thank you so very much. You will have lifted the spirits of absolutely everybody listening to that. Thank you both again.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you very much.
It's been most enjoyable.